This is the Cambridge English Advanced, Test 2. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There'll now be a pause. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You'll hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear a man telling a friend about his holiday. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
How was your holiday, Tom?
Absolutely fine.
I suppose you went on one of those archaeological digs of yours. What's wrong with a walking holiday if you don't want to lie on the beach?
Nothing really, except I'd say it doesn't give you much to think about. And that's what I really need. Lying on the beach isn't for me. I don't necessarily want to climb a mountain or do whitewater rafting, but a bit of exercise is good. It's nice to travel, too. Though, to be honest, once you get down to work, it doesn't matter much where you are. Unless it rains all the time, perhaps.
So what's the attraction of grubbing about in the ground?
Finding a hoard of gold would be good, but most of us are realistic enough to know that won't ever happen. Actually, I think it's good for me as a person. What we dig needs interpreting, but you'll never know for sure whether you've got it right. Others will disagree with you, and you have to respect their opinions. Some people might like to claim they're saying something really relevant that'll rewrite history, but that's rather an exaggerated claim in my view.
I'm still not convinced I could do it. How was your holiday, Tom?
Absolutely fine.
I suppose you went on one of those archaeological digs of yours. What's wrong with a walking holiday if you don't want to lie on the beach?
Nothing really, except I'd say it doesn't give you much to think about. And that's what I really need. Lying on the beach isn't for me. I don't necessarily want to climb a mountain or do whitewater rafting, but a bit of exercise is good. It's nice to travel, too. Though, to be honest, once you get down to work, it doesn't matter much where you are. Unless it rains all the time, perhaps.
So what's the attraction of grubbing about in the ground?
Finding a hoard of gold would be good, but most of us are realistic enough to know that won't ever happen. Actually, I think it's good for me as a person. What we dig needs interpreting, but you'll never know for sure whether you've got it right. Others will disagree with you, and you have to respect their opinions. Some people might like to claim they're saying something really relevant that'll rewrite history, but that's rather an exaggerated claim in my view.
I'm still not convinced I could do it.
Extract 2. You hear 2 colleagues talking about time management. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
I love watching people's expressions when they turn up late for my time management seminars.
Why is that?
They sidle in, looking exactly like a child who just got caught with a hand in a cookie jar. Maybe mumbling something sheepishly about traffic, while their friends tease them about being late for a class on time management.
But we've all done it, right?
Not me. It's causing more and more problems socially. At work, it even seriously hampers promotion chances. And I've known it's sour relationships, too.
But what's the answer? I'm pretty hopeless myself. I've tried setting my alarm 10, even 15 minutes fast, but...
That never works. Psychologically, you know it's fast, so you enjoy the lie-in.
You got that right. So, are you telling me you're never late? Hard to believe.
But true.
So how do you do it? What's the secret?
You have to undergo a complete change of mindset. Don't just aim to be on time for appointments. Become an early person, period.
Sounds tough.
But well worth it. Just think, no more rushing for the train, no more missed flights or embarrassing searches for excuses at meetings or on dates.
Right, so how do I go about it?
I love watching people's expressions when they turn up late for my time management seminars.
Why's that?
They sidle in, looking exactly like a child who just got caught with a hand in a cookie jar. Maybe mumbling something sheepishly about traffic, while their friends tease them about being late for a class on time management.
But we've all done it, right?
Not me. It's causing more and more problems socially. At work, it even seriously hampers promotion chances. And I've known it sour relationships, too.
But what's the answer? I'm pretty hopeless myself. I've tried setting my alarm 10, even 15 minutes fast, but...
That never works. Psychologically, you know it's fast, so you enjoy the lie-in.
You got that right. So, are you telling me you're never late? Hard to believe.
But true.
So how do you do it? What's the secret?
You have to undergo a complete change of mindset. Don't just aim to be on time for appointments. Become an early person, period.
Sounds tough.
But well worth it. Just think, no more rushing for the train, no more missed flights or embarrassing searches for excuses at meetings or on dates.
Right, so how do I go about it?
Extract 3. You hear two friends talking about a historical novel they have read. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
What did you think of Lorna Dean's new book? I was disappointed in the characters.
That's probably because you got so used to the ones that appear in all her other novels about the period, the old familiar friends. I thought these ones were a pretty convincing bunch, especially that rather mixed-up boy. There wasn't much she could do with the plot, though. The events of the period are so well documented.
There was a lot of local colour, I thought.
I suppose so. But it tended to be a bit over-explained. The description didn't come in naturally.
Oh, I don't agree with you there. I felt I got a real feel for time and place.
This did give us a window on a very different society. The writer's view of it, of course.
Oh, hardly fair. She'd done her research. She didn't just put her own spin on things. And didn't you think some of the politics and intrigue had a familiar ring? An interesting parallel with what goes on today.
Oh, no. I took reading it as an opportunity to forget the here and now.
What did you think of Lorna Dean's new book? I was disappointed in the characters.
That's probably because you got so used to the ones that appear in all her other novels about the period, the old familiar friends. I thought these ones were a pretty convincing bunch, especially that rather mixed-up boy. There wasn't much she could do with the plot, though. The events of the period are so well documented.
There was a lot of local colour, I thought.
I suppose so. But it tended to be a bit over-explained. The description didn't come in naturally.
Oh, I don't agree with you there. I felt I got a real feel for time and place.
This did give us a window on a very different society. The writer's view of it, of course.
Oh, hardly fair. She'd done her research. She didn't just put her own spin on things. And didn't you think some of the politics and intrigue had a familiar ring? An interesting parallel with what goes on today.
Oh, no. I took reading it as an opportunity to forget the here and now.
That's the end of part 1.